Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Finally, after I started with the closed beta on Overwatch, and it took me from then until now to have a moment that I might want to actually like have recorded for posterity. And so I've been trying to figure out how to record yourself in game like a million teenagers do across the land. But for this professional engineer, there's no hope.
No. You're just older. Just ask your daughter. I'm not even giving you a hard time about it. We're older now. But you have kids that know how to do this shit.
Oh no, they don't. Not yet.
Oh really?
No, not yet. Not yet. They're, you know, I mean, my oldest is only 8, so they really haven't like gotten into the computers that much. They skipped straight over computers and went to iPads. Now, they can make that iPad dance, but not so much with the computers. My oldest is picking it up, and my middle is he's a Minecraft demon, but he really doesn't do much else on it yet, which I've kind of been thankful for, because the second they start figuring that stuff out, I'm going to have to step up my parenting game.
Yeah, don't feel bad, man. I literally cannot figure out how to use Snapchat. I have never felt so old because I've tried. I do not understand what to do with that thing.
Oh wow! And I know I'm talking to somebody who has mastered. Let's see, probably AIM, X-Fire. I'm trying to remember the old school chat thing we had ages ago. That was the alternative to AIM.
I think that was X-Fire.
No. There was another one that had like a flower for an icon or something like that. And it integrated like all chat tools into one. And I cannot remember the name of it. Oh. You know what I'm talking about? It had like a little flower for and we all used it. I know you used it. We all used it.
I may have not been gaming when that was going on.
Oh, no. This
last one I remember was X-Fire. Although the flower logo does sound familiar, strangely enough.
Oh, God. That hurts. That hurts. Man, oh, that's going to bother me until I fall asleep. I will lay awake trying to remember what the hell I know that software was. And you know, it's probably still out there.
Well, I'm sure you could just Google it with like even that bizarre half-assed description that it would come right up.
Sorry, are we on? Are we recording?
We are on.
Oh! Online Donkey Kong,
and I'm coming in hyped, man.
So, how about you kick it off, and then I want to hear about the game.
Okay, that's why I'm hyped, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to a highly impromptu episode of Full of Sound and Fury podcast. I'm Cyrus Mordazavi. Hail Hydra! You didn't see that coming, did you?
I quit. I hate this podcast.
Anti-Semitism, not cool. Not cool. We'll come back to that.
Anti-Semitism. I had to process that for a second. I thought, I didn't say anything about the Jews. What did I do wrong?
No one did. But approximately 72 hours ago, the internet lost its shit.
Yeah, I know.
But again, we'll come back to that. Let me introduce you real quick. From the ATX... full of Overwatch.
Which is just like Sound and Fury.
Yeah, basically, right? It's Keyshawn Xavier.
Yeah, I might be sitting here in the pitch black speaking to you because there's some horrid storms barreling down on me.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm excited to come back next week and during thunderstorm season. That'll be a fun flight.
Oh, are you heading to Dallas?
I'm heading to Dallas for AKON 27.
All
June
right.
3rd through 5th.
All right. Maybe that explains when I look at your Twitter account, And there's like this insane code that I look at it and it makes me feel old just looking at it. Just
Oh, I thought you were going to call me on like the ceaseless stream of self promotion that it's become the last couple weeks.
No, that I understand, but you've done something that I hardly even know how to explain. But it looks like your handle or your name or something has gone crazy with the Akon.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's my artist alley table.
Okay, so, well, wait a minute, still doesn't tell me, how did you throw your Artist Alley table onto Twitter in your literal self?
Oh, well, I mean, oh man, this is back to us being old men again. But
that's what I mean. I told you, every time I look at your name, I feel old.
There's a spot in your settings where you can change your name.
But keep your handle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're at. So to speak, is immutable.
If we were in radio right now, you would have a button that would go, Keyshawn's old man moment. I would love to have that button.
You know we are in radio right now, right?
Technically, but we don't have that much fancy stuff.
That's now, true.
If you can go back later and make a little ditty, that'd be great.
Well, you just made it. Now all I have to do is carve it out, and I'm going to. But the thing is I don't think you have a monopoly on the old man moments.
No, that's true. that's definitely true. Okay, let me exit out of Overwatch here, because I'm sure the masses would enjoy having this little Overwatch background music in the background.
Well, I want you to tell me about that pretty soon, sometime on this cast.
Yeah, well, that... Let's start with your hype, and then we'll
okay.
Mine.
So
we've got a lot of things to talk about.
We did. A lot of shit went down in the last 7 days.
Yeah.
Seemed like it had been a quiet spring, and then all of a sudden, bam.
Yeah, booyah, booyah.
And no one was
trying to ruin it.
All right, so Golden State, the Warriors, the defending champs, fresh off a history-making 73-win season.
Uh-huh.
We're down 3-1 to Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right.
By midweek. They won game 5 at home to extend it to 6. And we just minutes ago, they came back to win game 6 in Oklahoma.
Really?
Anchored by Klay Thompson and his records hitting 11 three-pointers.
Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty epic.
Wow. That's awesome. The win is game 7.
Game 7 is Monday night.
Oh, it's on.
May 30th.
On. I will watch that.
Yeah. And I know the Thunder have got to be down, given how they gave it away in the last couple of minutes. But they're going to rally, and that's going to be another epic game.
It really is.
So, people, if you're listening to this prior to Monday, do yourself a favor and watch that fucking game.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll even tune in for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, they're giving Golden State everything they can handle.
I keep up with basketball, but mainly just kind of when it gets towards the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. The NBA playoffs are just – they're so good.
Yeah, but everybody turns it up.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah, OKC looked pretty pedestrian until about 2 weeks ago when they went on a fucking tear.
Yeah, they literally hulked out.
Yeah.
They destroyed San Antonio.
Yeah, and they two of those these wins against Golden State were beatdowns.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, yeah.
Like 50 points combined, wasn't it?
Yeah, combined. Yeah, absolutely. They have the secret to their success is their big guys down low have turned it on.
Yeah, that explains 11 three-pointers.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're crashing the boards. The intensity is just nuts. But yeah, Steven Adams, Cantor to a lesser extent,
uh-huh.
And even Ibaka are finally showing up. So,
how about our Texas boy?
KD is still KD. Oh, yeah.
So, how's his defense this playoff?
But man, Steph Curry is like, even when he's like rallying them back in game six, you know, is after he hits an amazing shot, he's there, you know, he's bent over trying to breathe. And it's
awesome.
Yeah. I mean, they are just exhausting them. And Durant's part of it, but they've done a pretty good job of switching off on him. So they just constantly, there's three of them beating up on him at any given time.
Okay.
So yeah, Durant being one of them.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I really, it's one of those things where I don't have a dog in the hunt other than maybe cheering for Durant.
I can't cheer for Oklahoma. I can't do it. I don't want that state to be happy.
Well, that's true, but I don't think that they're – you think they actually know they have a basketball team?
Yeah, some of them do. It's a packed house.
I think the ones that know that there's a basketball team aren't from Oklahoma. They might live there. They might go there. They're not from there.
Well, I'm going to quote the great Charles Barkley here. Not everybody wants to be – no one wants to live in Oklahoma. Some people are just born there.
That's perfect.
Yeah. No, I mean, they definitely know it's their only professional franchise, you know, for a reason, because Oklahoma. But
right, yeah. So how's the East facing up?
Cleveland just locked up the East. They knocked out Toronto.
Yeah?
Which tells you everything you need to know about the East.
Wait a minute, what about Miami?
Oh, Bosch got hurt, and then they've been out of it for a while.
Oh, they've been out? Like,
yeah.
They lost and they're gone?
Yeah.
Man, this is what happens when you follow Reddit.
That way madness lies.
I know. Well, I keep up with most of my basketball either with the local radio or Reddit. And local radio only talks about the West. There is no East.
There's a reason.
Barely bring it up. I mean, it hardly even comes up. They're talking so much about Golden State. And Durant, I mean, that, you know, just with the Durant angle, they go all day. And I read on Reddit like a month ago, I think, that Miami had lost and was out. And then I saw on Reddit later that, no, Miami was still in. And I've been in the same.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you accidentally subbing in Miami for Cleveland?
Oh, you know what? LeBron moved, didn't he?
Yes.
Keyshawn's old man moment.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally making that a thing. That's good stuff.
It's so right.
Yeah, Cleveland has locked it up. Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
That explains everything.
Yeah.
So I've had a steady state of old man moments that I'm talking about or thinking about even the East, the NBA East. Wow. This is why I come to this podcast. So I can get light shed on things that I don't know.
To recenter yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Get recalibrated. Speaking of, it is Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, it is.
The annual marimba weekend. I did it by myself.
Yep.
Here's
I started seeing this, all the sad tweets. I was like, wait a minute.
There must be a family reunion going on. And you're right. There is. You're absolutely right, and I am home alone.
Yeah, we left your ass. I'm
sorry. That's right. So, you know, interestingly enough, I spent from 10 a.m. till about 4 p.m., 4:30 or so, traversing Austin, going to the comic book shops. And
that sounds about what I remember trying to get around Austin on a Saturday afternoon.
There's a whole bunch of shops I've never been to. And I've been going hot and heavy on the collecting on the hardbacks and omnibuses and absolutes and all that stuff and trying to get some that are out of print. And went, you know, obviously our staples are Dragon's Lair and Austin Books. Mm-hmm. And
two of our finer unsponsors.
That's true, but they failed me for the last 6 to 8 months. I mean, it's just been miserable. I will say Dragon's Lair had a sale going on about a month ago, and it was like unannounced, and they just kind of threw a bunch of things onto a table and knocked them off 50 to 75%. And I marched in there and was just like, oh, hell yeah. And landed a whole lot of whales that I'd been looking for, and for real cheap. So that was
what'd you get?
I got a lot. Let's see. I got the Secret Warriors omnibus.
Oh, you son of a bitch!
Yeah, yeah. I was real happy. I was like, oh, look at there. And I went ahead. I had to buy it. I had to buy it. I bought the X-Force omnibus. And none of that.
Which era?
X-Force. We're talking about the OG X-Force. Rob Liefeld at his.
And Nisi Aza, yeah.
Pointiest, feediest. And trust me, I also bought a lot of. I pretty much finished out the recent Batman run. And I'm talking recent, like going back to Morrison. They had when you're paying $4 or $5 for those hardbacks, that's pretty good. Now I just cleaned.
So are you talking post Morrison, the Snyder era?
No, with Morrison. With Morrison.
Okay, okay.
So a lot of the Death of Robin and.
Yeah, you know, Morrison's run was good. I've got a lot of those myself.
Yeah, yeah. And picked up a bunch of those. What else? Finally, this has been a day log coming. I finally finished out the Ultimate Spider-Man hardbacks, just all the way through his death. They haven't made hardbacks yet of Miles Morales because I've been looking, and they haven't made it in hardback yet. That's just another sign of the man keeping us down.
No, I think that's another argument for Marvel being anti-Semitic.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. How come Black Spidey can't, literally, Black Spidey can't get a hardback? I'm angry about this.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna go tweet about it right now.
I want to know what happens if Miles Morales gets the Venom suit. Is it inappropriate to call him Black Spidey? America. I'll wait for.
I'm gonna leave that. We're gonna leave that as an open forum in our feedback. We'll see what we'll see what they say.
That's right. If Miles Morales gets the Venom suit, is it inappropriate to call him Black Spidey? I honestly think that Black Spidey is a great compliment because Black Spidey was awesome. Yeah. I freaking love that original Secret Wars Black Spidey.
All right, so my initial thinking is no, but if Miles Morales gets the Venom suit and like all of a sudden he has like a giant afro with a pick in it, that's probably not okay. But I'm going to come down on saying that's not.
What if the alien does that? What if Miles himself does not have an afro? He's got normal hair. But then the alien, is that alien racist? I think so. And I think it also.
Racist alien's the worst.
Say Black Spidey. I think if you say Black Spidey with the proper reverence, then it's okay. But, you know, J. Jonah Jameson just can't. The Black Spidey, you can't do that. That's horrible. That's racist.
Black Spidey's a menace. Oh, inappropriate.
Yeah, that's anti-Semitic. Oh, and I finished out the Brubaker run on the omnibuses.
Oh, Captain Hydra?
Captain Hydra. I've got it. He was America until Brubaker let him go.
Oh, that's right.
And somebody else comes along and sends him to Dimension Z and then makes him an old man. When do we get Captain America as Captain America?
I suspect we already have him.
Well, he's Captain Hydra now.
Yeah.
And let's see. What else? I got the Age of Apocalypse omnibus. Really trying to fill in the. I still have like that entire run of X-Men and Uncanny X-Men going back to the, mid-80s.
Oh, I know. That's the most delicious comfort food of comics right there.
No, but man, the long boxes. Oh, eventually I'm going to have to get rid of these single issues. And so I'm picking up the omnibuses and I've just got, I think, two left. And one's coming out later this year. Tell you, I've really started getting into the omnibus hardback scene and all that kind of stuff. Found a neat group on Facebook that have you ever seen that website that's the Omnibus Guy?
No.
it could be addicting, my friend. Don't read it. It's the same thing as when you introduced me to the Authority. If you read that site, all of a sudden you're going to start like hunting for omnibuses.
That wouldn't be bad, though. I don't read comics anymore.
Yeah.
And I miss it.
Well, I don't get the single issues, but I sure am tearing my way through omnibuses. I've got more to read now than it's going to take me a month of Sundays to read all.
Yeah, but you're reading old stuff, man. They have changed how the comic book shipping works these days in the last several years.
Well,
they're just fodder for events.
True. But boy, has DC done something interesting.
Have you
heard about all this? Have you heard about any of it?
I haven't picked it up yet. I know it just came out. You're referring to Rebirth, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in our last episode, I confessed I was trying to research it and couldn't find shit one on it.
Oh, well, it's all out there now.
But it's out there now, yeah.
You know?
No, break it down for me.
Oh, really? Oh, Geoff Johns has taken over and pretty much is all but saying that the New 52 was terrible and a waste of time and negative, and pretty much saying that ever since The Watchmen, that DC's gone down this dark and gritty path, and that's not what DC should be.
All those things are true.
That's right. Oh, yeah, I know. But the fact that the head of DC, he's been put kind of in charge of it, and of the creative direction at least, he's completely just, he's saying all the stuff that I've been thinking for years and we've been talking about for years. And it's kind of exciting. Obviously one of the big things, they brought Wally West back. They're bringing a whole lot of characters back.
Hang on. Now, you said did they bring Wally West back or Wally West Black?
They've got both. So we've kind of gone back in time a bit stylistically in the terms that now we've got a DC world that has multiple versions of the same character all coexisting at the same time.
Right.
So, you know, Crisis was – the original Crisis was to get rid of all that. I think all the subsequent crises were trying to correct all that. And pretty much this is Geoff Johns going, to hell with it. Let's have them all. That's what makes them good.
Oh, to hell with it. He's playing level 7 of Ameritude.
Yes. Oh, hell yeah. And the big turn at the end of the DC Rebirth. And you haven't heard about this? I'm getting to tell you.
No, all I know is that Marvel is anti-Semitic now. This is all I've heard for the last 3 days.
Basically, it turns out that the New 52 and Flashpoint and everything, the mystery person that was behind all of it, all of the recreation of reality, wiping out certain folks and not others, is Dr. Manhattan. And Batman finds the little bloody happy smile and says, "We're being watched."
That's interesting.
Uh-huh. So it's pretty, they're bringing back and introducing into the DC universe proper the Watchmen. And so while the explosion's been going on over at Marvel, boy, DC's really the one that's dropped the A-bomb with that. Not setting them necessarily up to be the good guys. So folks are really going wild on that. And every comic book shop I was at that DC Rebirth had already sold out. All of them. And I can't...
Oh, they underordered then.
I can't recall a DC comic just steady stepping up and ruling the whole roost.
Yeah,
like that in a long time. Sure, there's been some big seller event items, but I don't think there's been anything like this because I don't remember not being able to find a comic. And it is flat sold out everywhere. And everybody's going ape shit because, you know, Return of the Watchmen. More so than just, I mean, a real return. They're like bringing them into the universe proper. So that ought to be real interesting. Oh, and another.
I just want good monthly books again. Is this too much to ask? That's all I want. I mean, that's fine. That sounds like a fine enough setup, but.
One last thing. Today, I in one of these awesome comic shops that I've never been to before, I found and purchased probably the last one available in town, the Alias Omnibus.
Mm.
Now, you may remember, we were talking about this long ago.
Uh-huh.
And I never actually read the whole thing. Pretty much after we got to our discussion, I felt like I had peaked.
So you bailed out of the first issue?
I don't know when it was.
The scene that you and I debated for years was the first issue.
Okay, well, yeah, that was it. I thought this could not bring any more joy to my life than it already has. But with the television series or the Netflix series,
yeah.
I was like, I've got to get this. My wife has been asking about it. She wants to see it. And, of course, that means it was sold out, and even the second printing's hard to find. And I happened to find one.
That makes me mad when I hear things like that.
About out of print?
When all of a sudden a book, everyone wants to read it, and you can't find it. That is a failure of the marketplace.
I know. I agree.
Ugh.
Have you heard about this Death of X event?
I've seen ads for it.
So
it's so hard to muster any caring.
I agree, except behind the scenes... all the X books are being like clearanced out. And so if you go online to various websites, you can get a lot of X books for real cheap right now because Marvel's dumping their stores.
Well, so, they've been dumping the X-Men for 5 years. They don't give a shit.
Right. And, so I'm curious if they're going to pull the same thing that they did with Fantastic Four and, quit producing it.
Oh, wow.
That's what's being discussed online, is wondering if they're going to, you know, because, I mean, that Secret Wars event from this past summer was the final, essentially the end of the Fantastic Four.
Correct, right.
And people are wondering, are they going to do the same thing with the X-Men? And Marvel's been saying, no, no, no. But, and I wouldn't believe it just because of the announcement of that Death of X event, except for the fact that they're dumping their stores.
Hmm.
That part makes me go, exactly. I don't know what to make of it. Could be wrong. Could be just, you know, a couple of coincidences. But, you know, they lied about Fantastic Four, too. So, who knows?
Wow. Now, that's hard to wrap my head around.
Yeah, so here we are, criticizing Marvel. And
yeah, what the hell is happening?
Applauding DC.
I'm scared.
The end times are nigh. But let me bring it back, because there is a little thing of, like, the Arrow season. Whatever.
Oh, hang on. Bring it further back. Let's go chronologically here.
So which one?
Captain America Civil War.
Oh, yes. Yes. Hot diggity damn, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
I loved that thing.
Okay.
It was a little slow on the front. It was a little slow on the front, but honestly, you know, it's not like I need a crazy action movie when you know, the development of the character and the story was so good. I loved it. I can't believe we live in a world where we...
Oh, my God. I love the idea of the Vision running around in a fucking cardigan.
I know.
That made me so happy.
Yeah, and they did a really good job with him. Of, I don't know, making him trying to be normal.
Right, right, right. It recalled to me my Brent Spiner as Data back in Next Generation.
Yeah, I think a little bit better done.
Yeah.
Just in the terms of, yeah, he really does look bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's why it's so endearing when you see him like try to put on normal clothes over all that weird shit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's not like it's really heavily caked on makeup. You know, it obviously has to be, but they really did a good job. I mean, it's not like that movie was dedicated to the Vision, but the little bits that they did with every character, not just the Visions, just brought them along. You know. And you can't hope for more than that as far as character development goes. You know, they really brought the thunder. I'm going to be sad when Cap's out. that's gonna be sad. But
I liked it a lot, but I didn't love it, I think, as much people have. And I've been trying to figure out why.
Character flaw?
No. Eternally? Maybe. Listen. I'm going to go Roger Goodell here. All options are on the table.
No. So what do you think it is that didn't do it for you?
I feel like a lot of that movie was the idea of the Avengers fighting themselves. The build up to the end of Act Two. Mm-hmm. That was the whole film, was just trying to make that as awesome as possible. And they did a good job with it. But that in and of itself is not enough for me, because if you think about it, dating back to Iron Man 2, the Marvel characters have been fighting each other pretty much constantly. It's kind of what they do.
Yeah. But, you know, what they did with Tony Stark and with Captain America, from where each of those characters started to where they've ended up, and the evolution of that over the Avengers, over the Iron Man movies, the Captain America movies, then over the Avengers movies when they were chopping wood and arguing while they're chopping wood and breaking wood with their hand. all of that, kind of how they evolved to where they are. I think the only thing I'm... My girlfriend left me. Where'd she go? We broke up. That part seemed a little, like, ham-fisted.
I think there were actually several scenes like that where I could see the string, so to speak, where they were having to write around things, just like the way Spider-Man felt shoehorned in.
Oh, yeah, but...
Even though I wanted to see Spider-Man, I was like, well, this feels false.
Yeah,
and why is Aunt May hot? I don't feel good about that.
Have you seen that video, or there's a graphic online that's floating around that shows the evolution of Spider-Man and Aunt May over time.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's getting younger and younger, and Aunt May's getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
And hotter and hotter. And you do know that there was a movie in the 90s. It was a date movie. That's why I remember it. That was Marissa Tomei and Robert Downey Jr. were together in that movie.
Oh, no, I did not.
Oh, yeah.
This is where Old Man Keyshawn moment is is one for the plus side.
Yeah, exactly. It was, they were an item in that movie. And it was a really good, like, romantic comedy kind of movie, which, you know, there aren't a lot of those. And so it was kind of wild seeing those two sitting on the couch together. Old-er.
It took me a long time to figure out the final twist in that film. And I felt dumb when I didn't see it coming.
Well, right. Yeah.
Did it catch you also?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
That was well done.
No kidding.
Liked the new take on Baron Zemo, too.
Oh, man.
I thought that was a really clever way to reintroduce him.
It sure was. I mean, just a normal guy that set about to destroy this super team. He couldn't take them on physically.
Yep.
And that was beautiful. Now, the whole – I'm a little curious about how he figured out to set up all those dominoes. I mean, you can kind of follow the dominoes, but the first one's the hardest one, which is – I found out that Winter Soldier did that. I don't quite follow where he got it.
Well, it's because they never tell you.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah, I was the second time I saw it, I did go see it twice. I was curious the second time. I was trying to catch, like, if they hint somewhere, like maybe when he's torturing that the Hydra agent.
Mm-hmm.
Which wasn't Captain America. But I thought that they nailed Spider-Man to the wall. I thought that he had 10 minutes in that movie. The Empire Strikes Back line was my favorite line of the whole film. And not so much.
Oh, Spider-Man. I'm going to tell you my favorite part.
What's that?
I'm going to tell you my favorite part. can you pull your seat up? No.
Oh, right.
those two passively aggressively fighting over Captain America was good shit.
That was good. The way those two interact, I hate you. That was so good. Oh, you're right that it's kind of hard to buy that Iron Man, being who he was, and realizing at this moment in time that he needed to go and bring the thunder, he turned to a 15-year-old. You know, it would be more believable that he went after, like, Doctor Strange or somebody like that. You know, somebody we haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
But to go, oh, nope, we got to go get this 15-year-old. That's a little bit far. But still, I freaking loved it. I mean, just everything they did with him and how he gets a suit. I think that's the first time in the history of ever that Spider-Man gets a suit in a way that's actually believable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the characterization was pretty spot on once they actually got him in there.
Yeah, and that kid actually looks
like they're not stopping.
Right.
He's like literally so narrating what the audience is thinking. It was pretty
funny. Yeah. Yeah, and you have a steel arm. Awesome. Steel arm. I can't remember what he said. It was something like that, but it was great. And I can't wait. Now, they've got me looking forward to Homecoming now. Now, it is, what is today? Saturday?
Here's my problem, though. Captain America sure was punching Iron Man in his iron suit a lot. I understand that. It seems like his hands would have hurt a lot.
Well, he's a super soldier. I can kind of tell myself, he's got super strength.
Then there was the whole holding the helicopter thing. That seemed a little weird. And then there's three guys running by cars. I don't know. Like, okay.
I've been doing curls with my biceps ever since. I saw those biceps. I was like,
I'm just the physics of this film a little questionable.
Hey, man, Giant Man was spectacular.
Yeah.
I loved every second of that.
I thought the special effects were a little poorly done, too.
Yeah, you know, and
I don't know if maybe I was the only person who noticed that, but it felt like they were rushed, and a lot of times it wasn't clear what the hell was supposed to be happening. Stuff didn't look good. There was a real Revenge of the Sith vibe.
Yeah, I don't like the quick cuts.
Nope.
During a fight.
Yeah.
But that could be because Daredevil is spoiling the shit out of me. God, I love Daredevil.
Yeah, because Daredevil was awesome. That's how you're supposed to do fight scenes.
Right. Man, it's just...
Yeah, I don't care for digital stunt doubles. I just don't.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, you can't have Spider-Man doing what he's doing with anything but a digital stunt double.
That's fine. And you know what? Spidey looked okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, it was a lot of the Winter Soldier stuff I didn't really... I was like, that doesn't look right.
Did you see the video of Chris Hemsworth talking about Civil War?
No.
So, he did this himself. I think he posted it on Twitter or something. He's essentially doing pull-ups, and he's exercising, and while he's doing pull-ups, he's talking about, Civil War, but it didn't have two of the best characters in it, Hulk and Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's doing the pull-ups, and Thor has his hammer, and he takes one arm, and he reaches out, and the hammer flies to his hand, you know, and he's doing the pull-up just with one arm. And then he takes his other arm and puts it down, and he's still doing the pull-ups with no arms, so, you know, you can tell he was faking it. And he's just talking about how badass Thor is and how Civil War was cheap without him. Just very arrogant, but doing it on purpose. It was
sure.
It was great.
Sounds like an Australian.
It was. It was with that smirk the whole time.
That's fine.
Yes, it was great. That was a good video. So, Find It, America is funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm definitely shipping Civil War, but I guess as a summarizing thought for where I was at, a lot of people were saying it's the best Marvel film, and I don't think it is. I don't think it's even close, actually. I'd still put The Avengers and Captain America Winter Soldier ahead of it. I don't think it's even the best Cap film.
Which one's first? Avengers or Winter
Who's
Soldier?
Who's on first?
No, what's on second? I just showed my kids that the other day. They love that thing.
And Daddy, you're old. What's baseball?
Right. So, I have no idea what we were talking about. Yeah, who's on first and now I'm toast.
Yeah, we really, God, this, without Ariel or Riyad to anchor us, man, this.
I know. This just starts winding
this,
around.
This turns into the Statler and Waldorf real fast.
Oh.
We were talking about the hierarchy of the MCU films.
Oh, yes, that's right. And I think Captain America Winter Soldier is number one.
It's got a great story.
Yeah, the whole thing. God
yeah.
Almighty. Then Avengers, and then this one.
Okay.
That's my ranking. And I love all of them, man. I could sit down and just barrel through every one, even Ant-Man. Ant-Man just was what it was.
I adored Ant-Man.
Yeah.
He was great in Cap 3.
Oh, yeah. Just, I'm shaking your hand too long.
Who are you?
Oh, that was brutal. That was so brutal. Oh,
yep. Man. That's why it worked.
Yeah.
so cold.
Punched him in the dick right through the bars. Just pow. God. Now, Hawkeye was a little bit bizarre.
You know, I recently have been watching the television series Louie on Netflix, catching up on it.
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner plays Louie's drug dealer in season 4. And that's ruined Hawkeye for me, because I'm like, that's the guy who sells pot. Now I'm all messed up.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's really good as the pot guy, too. Not that he's bad as Hawkeye, mind you, but he's...
I always like Jeremy Renner, whatever he's in.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
Oh, now, flipping back to Horrible, today being May 28th is the opening weekend for X-Men Apocalypse.
Yes.
Have you gone to see it yet?
No. Nope. After Days of Future Past, I learned my lesson.
Really? Because I kind of like Days... Well, I mean... Days of Future Past scratched a particular itch for me.
Yeah, we've been over this many times before.
Yes. But this one...
It wasn't a film to you so much as a much-needed enema.
I know, but I'm very afraid that this movie's going to shove some new shit right back in where the old shit was.
The reviews that I've read have been surprisingly upbeat.
Oh, I should email you the one I read.
Maybe you should.
Oh, but,
I'm sure it's probably okay, but I'm not gonna go see a movie that out you know that's only okay.
Oh, definitely.
You know.
Uh huh.
I'll Redbox that shit.
Very true.
Yeah.
I need to find that review. I was trying to hunt it down, but there's not a Riyadh to fill the space while I try and look stuff up. So that means I just have to make up my shit. I can't actually cite anything. Yeah, there it is. Cyrus at A-Con G-20 liked to tweet. And I just get confused. Okay, so we've got X-Men that's out. Arrow is over.
Yeah. I think we can transition to that pretty easily. The Berlanti verse has come to its end for the season.
I want to start off by applauding somebody on Facebook. It's not very often that Facebook does something that's worldwide hysterical, but
I think it's unprecedented.
a few days ago, Stephen Amell, I've got the name right. He posted online that. He's been doing this. You probably aren't aware of this unless you just caught it online, that he's been making some appearances on WWE.
I have heard of this.
Okay.
But pray continue.
Well, have you heard about what he posted on Facebook a couple of days ago?
No.
He posted on Facebook that he's come up with a finishing move to use at WWE. But he doesn't have a name for it. He wants a really good name. And so he posted this on Facebook to his fans going, help me come up with a good name for a finishing move to use at WWE in his next appearance. And the number one liked one was going, how about you call it Arrow Season 4 because no one will want to go on after that. And it had like 150,000 likes. And
yeah.
Mel even responded back, come on, man. It was just brutal. Just brutal.
Well, the problem is a week before, if I'm getting my dates correct, you know, Amel was doing exit interviews for Season 4, and even he was like, yeah, I'm excited for 5 because I think we're going to get back to what we do well.
Oh, I hope so.
There seems to be a real feeling amongst the cast, and probably some of the crew at least, if not all of them, that they kind of fucked up with this season.
Man, I tell you, they have – my wife and I, we kind of watch it in a vacuum, right? I mean, we're just living our lives and watching Arrow. And not
that's fascinating on the surface of it.
And both myself and my wife have developed a hatred for Felicity that only grew out of the course of this year.
They laureled her.
They did. They did. I mean, let's go to that last episode. So, you know, with all the shit that's happened before, and he's at Laurel's grave, kneeling down, having a confession. And lo, she's there. Now, I get it. They're just a different place to have a scene as far as the writers are concerned. But if you look at it from the point of view of that world, here's a woman who dumped him but won't even let him have a second to himself. She's going to hunt him down at the cemetery and have a talk with him there too.
Ever since the breakup, Felicity has just not worked as a character.
And
much like what happened to Laurel in Season 2, I think they've broken her irrevocably.
Yeah.
And if they've done that, the show's over. Because she was one of the big draws.
Well, they're going to have to come up with another big draw.
I don't know, man. I personally think I'm out. Much like half the cast, evidently, if you believe the finale.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding, man. Everyone's walking away from that train wreck.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
It was so metatextual. You could cut it with a knife.
Yeah, and the final line is like,
fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah, everybody's out, and then Felicity's like, you think I'm gone?
Exactly. No. I'm like a fungus between your toes. I'm never going away.
Yeah, you know, and the funny part is, if they had killed Felicity.
Can we date? No.
and developed Laurel. Yeah. That might have been the only way that they could resurrect it, because Laurel was starting to get tolerable. The only thing I can think is they hired a some kind of script doctor, possibly the same guy that writes Harlequin romance novels, somebody that can really do it right, and brought him in to resurrect both Iris West and Laurel. Now, they left Felicity off of it. But wasn't it you that said the reason why they write Felicity so well is because they're immature men writing a geeky woman?
Yes.
The only kind of woman they can understand how to write. They couldn't write any of the other ones?
Well, Felicity was she was actually too perfect. She was very ideal geek girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then when they couldn't write anyone but that, it was like, well, that's telling.
Right. And, I mean, Mr. Terrific is exactly like Felicity. It's just too – and how much
– Now, hang on. Is it racist if we call him Black Felicity?
Yes.
Good to know. I'm writing this down so I don't forget.
But you can call him African-American Felicity.
But they shoot in Toronto.
Oh, Canadian Felicity.
African-Canadian.
African-Canadian. Oh, yep. But it's the same character. And, I don't have the time to do it. But if I could, and I could sit down and with a pen and pad with episode 1 and note the amount of time spent sitting at a computer clicking keys rapidly, And track it from season 1 to present, I think it would be beyond exponential. This season, there was so much clickety-clickety Like, we did something. I mean, think about it. They lost 1,500 nukes. We saw one for about a second and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Just take our word for it. We've launched 1,543 nukes. Damn it. I'm not saying I got to see 1,500 nukes. I saw War Games. There was a lot of threat there. It didn't have to see the nukes. I get it. But it's just, when you really sit back and look at it, kind of meta, it's just a bunch of actors sitting in front of a computer, clickety, clickety, clickety. We did it.
There was a lot of narration rather than showing, you mean?
Even the
rule in visual storytelling is show, don't tell. An arrow.
Yeah, but they're showing people sitting.
They told rather than showed.
Yeah, and they're just showing people sitting in front of a computer. I do that all day.
Didn't come there for Dilbert, is what you're saying.
No, not at all. Not at all. And then her father. And then it's her and her father and Mr. Terrific sitting at the keyboard typing away. And then they got her old boyfriend from season 2. Oh, yep. Bring him in. Have him click at a keyboard and save everybody.
And then she let him die. Don't forget that.
Bitch let him die. God.
Talked him into it.
She didn't give fuck all about it. He gets up and starts screaming in mortal agony. Sorry. And she spins to this keyboard, clickety, clickety, clickety. Evil bitch. My wife was like that whore. She yelled at the TV, that whore. Just did not even give a shit. She talked that guy and getting himself killed. You know, at least some guilt about getting. It wasn't even that.
She was stone cold.
Stone cold. Bitch is cold-hearted bitch. Yep. Oh. I hope she's listening.
Oh, my God.
I hope this finds its way to her.
Oh.
How do you resurrect somebody from that?
I don't know. How do you bring her back? Well, I mean, if they follow standard arrow procedure, that she'll be terrible for another year and a half, and then they'll kill her.
Oh, maybe so. You know, Arrow was happy. They pretty much said as much. I was happy.
Yeah.
You know, he was making quiche for the neighbors.
Is that happiness now?
She brought him back. Then she dumped him. Then she got his potential rebound girl killed. Then she nuked her ex-boyfriend. And then she stands there staring at America saying, I am going nowhere. Just to fuck you to everybody. Now, with all that rage, then we've got The Flash.
Loved it.
I'm loving it. Hot dog, that show is great. Hey, you know, there's a rumor going around online that The Flash is going to go and wipe out this entire reality. And so all of season 4 at the Arrow just flat didn't happen.
God, if only. Although, I mean, from what I understand from people who follow it, is that season 3 is basically going to be the Flashpoint storyline.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That sounds fun.
But wouldn't it be great if they could just say, oh, yeah, we wiped out all of season 4 of Arrow.
Well, you know they wiped out Iris, which is what you've been looking for.
Uh-huh. Yep. And you know what? Iris was actually tolerable in the last 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah, but that's about as high of praise as I'm about to go.
Yeah, I mean, still she's kind of useless.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, and how many times in a giant city they keep on? I wish they wouldn't do the panoramic views of the city when they give the establishing shots, because you get
especially since they're all Toronto.
Well, that and anything that happens in that city happens at
9 p.m.
We're about to have an aside, but.
9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
It happens at the coffee shop, and it happens at the police station. Zoom, attack the fucking coffee shop.
Yeah.
Is there nowhere else?
Well, there was a whole metahuman strike there, which I still don't really understand.
Yeah.
Oh, but no, then, wait. Didn't remind me, but if I'm remembering correctly, but isn't there an episode towards the end where the coffee shop becomes the police headquarters?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And let me go back on my aside for a second. But if you were to play a drinking game where every time Arrow or anybody on Team Arrow says this city, or in fact, anybody on the show says this city, you could not
dead 2 years ago
an episode. I mean, I guess that they started with you have failed this city. But you know when you say a word so many times that it loses its meaning?
Oh, God, yes.
They've done it to me with this city.
Yeah.
And in the last several episodes, the Arrow, that's another one I'd love to chart. Just see how many times they say this city. The city.
All right, I've got a theory. I think any show that is wanting you to, like, is forcing you to graph things like this show is making you want to do is not a good show.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to throw that out there.
I think you're right. I don't know, though.
You're not watching it. You're over there making pie charts.
Yeah, but, like, I would say that when I was young, I used to want to do the same thing with, oh, God. Keyshawn's old man moment. What is the name of Out to Kill, Born Again, Out for Justice?
Seagal.
I want to graph.
By the way, Born Again was only two words. You missed one.
Shit.
That's Daredevil, dude.
No, by that point, A was separate from Gen. But I wanted to graph the audible sounds of bones breaking in Steven Seagal movies. Because they had somebody just working overtime doing the, you know, sound.
Many chicken bones were destroyed with those films.
Oh, boy, man. They were just tearing through Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh. That's why Steven Seagal got so fat.
Yeah.
So, I would say that during that heyday of Steven Seagal years, those were good shows. But not,
I think
not
my only critique of The Flash Season 2, which I mostly loved, was I really wish we had gotten a little bit more to know Hunter Solomon from a motivation standpoint.
Yeah, you're right.
Beyond the idea that he was just equal Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the stuff he did didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
So I think if I was going to throw a critique out, that would be it. Because they had time. Yeah, but you got 23 episodes.
Yeah. And why he was keeping people as pets.
Right.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, he just seemed a little weird in that regard.
Yeah, I think if they were to catch something that Arrow Season 2 did really well was really capture the bad guy. You know, and a lot of comics, to me, all the best ones do a really good job with the bad guy. And I think if they could do a better
job. Your antagonist is important, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, think of the Joker. When you think of the Dark Knight Returns movie, you think of the Joker first. And Batman was almost the side character.
Mm-hmm.
Here, we hardly get much other than the bad guy does something dastardly. And just a little bit of background. Just, you know, the hint here and there.
Yeah.
Instead of really developing it out.
Yeah.
And if they Eobard Thawne, on the other hand, they did quite a bit with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why it feels a little odd that they Hunter was such a miss in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they had an opportunity to do it, and I still think they got it right. Now, help me out here. This is another Keyshawn old man moment, but I couldn't understand the getting a separate you from time to go and kill yourself.
Oh, okay. So my way of thinking about this, and this may be incorrect, so I guess we'll find out in the comment section here in a week or two, is that it's basically the Austin Powers 2 way of looking at time travel.
Oh, shit.
Right. So you travel back, but past Austin is still there. Instead of past Austin, they're referring to that as a time remnant.
Wait a minute. But he didn't go back in time. Or did he go back in time, get himself, and bring his old self forward? Because they're in the present.
Right.
They're in now. So unless there was a future him that came back in time to do it, that had seen it all fail and so came back to help. Is that what happened?
I believe the idea was, is he knew he needed to be in two places at once, so he traveled forward and then came back.
Oh, thereby. He traveled forward.
Right.
And then got his future self and brought him back. See, I would think you'd have to fail and then travel through time to go back to help out the second time around. But that's
a lot of time travel stories do it that way.
What's that?
A lot of time travel stories do it that way.
Right, but this one is like, no, I see that I'm going to fail, so I'm traveling, but I couldn't figure out where he traveled to. If he traveled to the future and got his future self, then that future self knows that it failed and would come back with him to fix it. If he traveled in the past, then he's getting a past self and bringing it to his future. Then I start swallowing my tongue and gagging.
Well, in that scenario, I guess he travels backwards, so and tells himself again, so to speak, what's going to happen, and he's like, "I'm here to help you." And then so to speak, those two catch up to the present together.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. No, that doesn't work because that means our Flash goes back in time, tells Back Flash that this is all going to go down real bad. And then he goes and hides for an hour or a couple of days until the moment, and then he shows up. Because otherwise it wouldn't make sense. Why wouldn't you have two Flashes going along?
Yeah.
And if you wait until after the failure, then you're on our future scenario. So I've spent a total of about 15 minutes trying to figure that out and realize that I shouldn't waste my life on such things.
Right.
But I wanted to ask America, and hopefully if we get it in the comments, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited that there's comments.
You know who's not excited there's comments? Marvel.
Oh, I bet.
So be careful what you wish for.
That's true. Because you're gonna get Nazi Captain America. How do you feel about that?
I feel like the internet is behaving like Kanye.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is, internet, could you let him finish?
That's true.
Can you let him finish?
That's true.
This is the author of Morning Glories. I mean, there is shit, and probably awesome shit's going to come out of this.
I do love
that. And this does not come from a place of being anti-Semitic.
Right, yeah.
That is ridiculous. Yes, Hydra is affiliated with the Nazis. Everyone knows that. That's part of the storyline, that that they're these are the super bad guys.
These are the bad guys.
Yeah. For God's sakes.
Well, I think part of it is that the tweaking of Cap's history that they're doing in the comic,
mm-hmm.
that calls into question, like, okay, is Captain America just actually agreeing with the Nazis as opposed to like being taken over by them? But I've liked how a lot of geeks have come to the rescue and are immediately pointing all over the place for little signs of reality shaping, particularly with the Cosmic Cube.
And right.
What the Cosmic Cube does is it goes back in time and dinks with little changes in history.
I know Spencer has got a plan. I'm familiar enough with this guy's work and, frankly, his talent to know
that
this was thought through. So whatever's coming.
Hang on. You have said something that I've got to check.
Go ahead.
Have you been reading Morning Glories in all the way through?
Not yet. I'm behind.
Okay, because I gave up because of the exact reason, opposite of the reason you just said. I felt like there was no plan whatsoever. And of course, now I'm the same person that read Seven Soldiers of Victory and just lost his goddamn mind.
Oh.
I couldn't that's all I could do. But
let me reassure you then, and hopefully encourage you to pick the series back up. I've had discussions not with Nick, but with Joe Eisma, the artist.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they've had that thing nailed down for years.
Wait a minute.
They know where they're going.
You actually spoke words with the artist?
Yeah.
Oh, is there any way that more characters could get scars and or tattoos to differentiate themselves? Because that's probably 90% of my problem of reading Morning Glories was that
All these when the truants show up, it starts to get hard.
What's that?
When the quote unquote truants show up, it starts to get tough because there's just so many damn characters.
Well, it's not too many characters. It's that I don't know if back in the old days with Marvel, there was a color palette, and the color palette ruled all. And so that's why you get a lot of the same common reds, sure. Things like that.
It was a primitive
Morning Glories. With Morning Glories, I've actually wondered if they have a similar color palette thing, because the only thing I can point to is look at the comics of Daredevil and the color of his hair, that orangish blonde. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I can call it. And then look at Morning Glories and see how many young men have orangish blonde hair. And I can't, those are the ones that I cannot follow. I get lost because of those ones. And even if they have a little bit different haircuts, they're not different enough that I can tell. And I study them. I studied it because the first omnibus I have, well, it's not an omnibus. It's not an absolute. It's just some kind of deluxe hardcover somewhere. In the bowels of my books, unless I threw it away out of rage, which I wouldn't put past me, but I sure thought that I had that first set of Morning Glories, and I'm looking now, there it is. Yeah, I've got volume one, and I loved it, but then as I continued reading, I just got so lost that it was like, I don't know that they've got a plan. If they had one, I can't follow it, and
No, they've had it scripted for since the first pitch to Image way back when.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful if they got a plan. And my hope is that they don't.
I will say to your point
with Captain Rogers.
I don't know how anybody would read that series monthly.
Oh, no kidding!
You know, you really have to read it in trades.
Well, the only thing I can think of is that the monthlies come with a somewhat like a primer in the back of what the hell's going on.
I'm sure they do.
And I know they do. And at that point was the point when I finally said, oh, fuck it. Because if they got to send a Cliff Notes version in the same comic just to tell me what the hell happened, I'm like, I'm reading the Cliff Notes to try to see what I just read. And I was just like, I do this for relaxation and enjoyment, and this is becoming like homework. But if there is a plan, then perhaps I'll wait until the end and then go and pick up.
No, it's like Battlestar. There are many copies, but they have a plan.
Now, you don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., do you?
No, I'm an adult.
Oh, that's a shame. Shame. Boy, the last
that year, show is a shame.
No, the first season was a shame. You get past about episode 8 or 9. I know I said this in one of the past podcasts, and it picked up tremendously.
All right.
And my wife and I absolutely, that's one of our top favorite shows. Just love that thing.
That's weird. And
what they're doing with the Inhumans, man, it's awesome. And that's why I bought that Secret Warriors omnibus.
What they're doing with the humans is pushing their movie back in it infinitely.
Oh yeah, I know. But
I think it's grand premieres the Tokyo Olympic Games now.
Well, there's going to be all new Olympians because we're going to kill them all off in Brazil or wherever.
It's very nice.
The virus is going to come from the Zika virus. Is that it?
Oh, the Zika virus. Well, that's this year's games in Brazil.
Right. Yeah. So they're going to kill off all the Olympians at this year's games. And have you heard they're talking about canceling it?
No. I knew there were some, female athletes scared to go.
Well, there's scientists that are, like, broadcasting the four winds that they shouldn't do it. The water's I'm a water engineer, and the stuff I'm hearing about the water situation is pretty grim. If it's true. Yeah. If it's true. I don't know if it's true, but...
I mean, it's going to be... It's the summer in Brazil. I mean...
yeah, no kidding.
Right? I mean, what do you...
It sounds extra bad.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Arrow and Flash.
You know what we haven't talked about in depth because I was behind on it was Daredevil.
Oh! See, I couldn't remember how much we talked.
Only a little bit.
Okay, so...
I think. God, well, that's going to be embarrassing if we did, but...
Have you finished the season?
Hell yeah. Weeks ago.
And what'd you think?
Oh, I loved it.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt season 2 hadn't somehow been even better, I would say it was the show of the year so far.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, dude, Netflix is killing it between those two shows.
What the hell is the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
It is Tina Fey given free reign. That's all you need to know.
Okay. Because I get that same feeling as, like, not Aqua Teen, but the other one, the Venture Brothers. Where it's like, boy, that's just a – and I know I'm going to miss out on tons of things because I haven't squeezed it in yet.
You have to watch every episode twice to catch all the jokes.
Okay.
It's, like, that funny that fast. It's so sharp.
Okay. Is there a plot?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't find any
man. What? Siri, what?
Siri's sleeping up and screaming at me.
See, I heard.
My iPhone has just gotten to the point where it's just like, oh, fuck it. And it just goes mute. And then all of a sudden, all at once, it'll pop up and, like, I'll have 10 emails and 2 voicemails with nary a sign that there were ever any calls. It's just like all of a sudden it woke up and go, hey, Holman. I'm going back to sleep. That's pretty much what my fucking phone's doing.
You have an old man phone.
I do. My old man phone.
It comes out of a stupor randomly, gets angry, and then goes back to sleep.
Hey, I'm fucking happy that there's actually evidence of it on a podcast now. That's great.
I'm vindicated.
I've been telling my wife, she thinks I don't answer the phone when she calls. I'm like, shit, it didn't show. It didn't even give no heads up whatsoever. None.
It's Siri. She's tearing us apart. She's like Felicity.
Oh!
Was that too soon?
No. God, poor.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Daredevil. So,
hold that thought. I'm gonna refresh my drink real quick.
Oh, yes.
And we'll talk, right?
There we go.
All right, give me one sec.
All right.
AFK.